Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to whatever we're doing here now.
Uncharted Treasures.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 4, season 1.
What's the podcast?
Join us, please, in the venture into the Southwest United States as we venture into the mid to late 1800s, early 1900s.
Very early.
Very early into banditry. Specifically, the Bronco Bill gang.
I mean, the Bronco Bill. What's his actual name? William Walter?
Yeah, William.
William Bill Walters.
Yes, and the reason why he matters and his gang is important because they committed, I mean, really, they just have one specific robbery that got them onto the stardom, which invented this lore and stories about buried treasure, and this is what it started.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. We wanted to cover him because he's a little unknown, although there are a ton of Bronco Bills or Bronco Billies or these nicknames of the Old West, I guess you'd call it. And it was just very interesting with what he decided to rob and how prevalent I think train robberies were at the time, right?
Well, they were more prevalent earlier on when his gang was starting to do it. It was kind of like dying out. And you see this was legislation, and just because robberies went down because they really made a hard crackdown on bandits who robbed trains.
In terms of what? Hanging them or putting them in jail?
I mean, both.
Oh, okay. So So basically, this is the version.
Yeah, Mary, is she here tonight?
She's gonna need to. I love my neighbors with their car.
Can you hear it?
Oh, 100%. It's so good. It's so good for the podcast.
We live next to some NASCAR people.
I mean,
and they're ready to be on the road
all
baby.
The time. Okay. So Devin did a lot of this research, and he is going to kind of lead us through this story or this legend. And what was the book you used?
So the book is called The Bronco Bill Gang by Karen and John Tanner Jr. And there are a lot of sources that you can, I mean, not a lot, but there's some sources you can find online, and a lot of them are contradictory to what the book says. And the book is, I mean, it's the most scholarly thing that you're going to find
when
researching Bronco
Bill. I was going to say, yeah. And in particular, and just to really kind of hit this home, it's William Walters is this subject of Bronco Bill. And Devin will talk about it a little bit more, but his gang and then, you know, what they stole in the treasure. So kind of starting out, what are we looking for? Like, what is this treasure?
So we believe that he stole around, I mean, Wells Fargo never admitted how much he stole, but we believe that he stole around $20,000. And in the mid-1900s...
Dollars or silver?
Dollars. Okay. Well, there was silver and cash.
Okay.
But there were American and Mexican and American bonds, but they didn't take any of that.
Okay.
Supposedly.
So they took cash and silver.
Yes.
Okay.
They gave a lot of cash, well, mainly silver, to the people who were on board the robbery and the conductors themselves, kind of just for like, hey, keep quiet. Keep it down. You know what I mean? You've seen neighbors.
We're going to threaten your lives, but...
Yes.
But...
Well, the Bronco Bill avoided, you know, conviction. You know, they went under... Several members went under indictments, but a lot of them got away scot-free, you know, acquitted. Bronco Bill was one time just because they killed a lot of the witnesses.
Oh, okay.
And they killed a lot. Red killed a lot of people. He's a later gang member that we'll discuss. Bronco Bill did too. Billy Kid Johnson did as well.
Yeah. I mean, once again, that's not Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
It's just a kid.
It's just a kid.
We got a lot of repetition. So that's why we wanted to make it real clear what Bronco Bill we were covering. When we mention these names, if they coincide with anyone else, don't think of it like Billy the Kid. You know, don't think of it like this is who the, you know, the famous, you know, bandit is. All right, so Dee, where do you want to start the legend?
So the story starts off with Bill's first job, and he is involved with a guy named Mike McGinnis. Now, we don't hear from Mike McGinnis for the rest of the story, but they found a miner in New Mexico who reportedly had $435 on him at the time. These two robbers intended to steal the cash. So they were in the same hotel as this miner who had this money. They got a little bit drunk waiting for the miner to leave, but they didn't expect the miner to take the money from his hotel room with him. So they raided his room after he left, came up empty. The two got so drunk, they went on a shooting spree. It was, I don't know how to describe it without using language. You know,
like a comedy of errors here. In terms of...
I mean, they got upset like toddlers and they shot their six shooters.
We have the Wet Bandits, of this time, right? Mm-hmm. Of the Southwest. Okay, I like it.
They threw a fit, and when they passed out and when deputies arrived the next morning, they were still asleep.
I love it.
And the two faced charges of deadly weapons, and the bail was fixed for $15. Isn't that nice?
The way you could get out of it now, right? Just $15. That's all you needed. So did he get any money from that or no?
No.
It was just a failed robbery.
$15. Yeah.
Okay. Just failed robbery there.
However, when they were incarcerated, I think it was Silver Dollar City. It was Lucy Rand. They ended up were entrusted with the keys. And the two found themselves in a .38 caliber, pistol in the guard's face. It remains unknown how the two found the gun, but it is believed there was a respectable family who helped the criminals escape.
Which is kind of interesting, but sure, okay.
Well, I mean, the book hints at it, that there's an interference by a respectable family whom we believe Walters is from.
Oh, all right. So Walters could be like a well-off or semi-rich kid, and
maybe that's definitely the case for Kid Johnson and Red Pipkin. They definitely came from middle-class families.
Got you. In the Southwest, right? Yeah, all in the Southwest. Okay.
I mean, Pipkin's father owned a ranch and worked for the Mormons. He was part of the Mormon church.
Got you. Okay.
And when he went to prison, they leveraged the farm they owned to pay his bail.
So they had
assets that they could pull from.
All right. So he gets out of jail by escaping.
Right.
Not paying the debt.
Yeah, he escaped. Okay. Two deputies caught up to him. There's a whole bunch muckus? Is muckus a word?
I don't think so.
Fuckus? No, that's not a word.
That's not one either.
There's a fiasco.
Okay,
so
that's better.
They don't know who pulled, if the deputies issued, like, hey, stop, like, we have a warrant for your arrest, Bronco Bill. Because they found him at a hotel room in a town. And, Bill was notorious.
Is he Bronco Bill right now, or is he just William Walters?
I mean, he peaked for a very short time.
Yeah.
I don't think he's Bronco now.
No.
He hasn't now.
Not yet.
And he gets caught up. He eventually escapes that term when deputies try to catch him. He flees to Mexico, and there's a couple different stories that you hear in Chihuahua, Mexico.
Okay.
Either he was tricked into going over the course of the border because he was drunk, or he was just promised something else while he was sober. Anyway, Baca, I think his name is David Baca, he was a deputy at the time, he took him back into custody. However, on May 24th, 1896... he was acquitted.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't know if the agents addressed themselves properly at the time.
Gotcha.
If they started shooting first. I mean, there's a number of different...
Whatever reasons.
Yeah, of queries. Yes.
Okay.
He was found not guilty.
Okay.
He returned to New Mexico in the Boot Hill region, and he started work for a Diamond A ranch in the Playas Valley, and a ranch that he wandered also to in Old Mexico.
Yeah, because they're all basically semi-combined at this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're networks.
Yeah.
And this is an exciting part of the story because many places harbored and quartered outlaws during this time. They gave food, horses, and other items so long as they paid. During this time, and it's especially that this is, the point is made, during this time, the cardinal rule and bandit success was heavily associated with this trusted network. meaning...
So as long as you paid them...
Right, and you didn't steal. So, like, yeah. If you took horses and you didn't pay and you just said, hey, we're just taking these horses.
But we're going to... But, like, basically, you could pay for horses, you could pay for lodging, you could pay for, like... And we're just going to let you do whatever you do.
Correct, yes.
Gotcha.
Ranchers were usually okay as long as they got paid.
Yeah, because probably ranchers are making a little bit extra on the side. Mm-hmm. Sheriffs and things aren't coming around.
They also get to hear the stories from the lawmen.
Yeah, sure.
Which are fascinating.
Yeah. So he's able to do that. He's able to go through this AA ranch kind of system. Is that what we're picking up or going through?
Yeah, and then it's another place that harbored outlaws was the Eagle Creek in 1883. Was founded by railroad contractor Joseph H. Hampson, and it grew into the one of the largest ranches in Arizona. Many desperados got their start from these harbored places. Walters had worked for a Diamond A ranch around 1894. The fun thing about Diamond A Ranch is that it also employed several hi-fi gang members and other bandits. And we'll talk about these members because they participated in a really high-class robbery. One of the most significant losses participated by this line, this railroad line, or sorry, this stage...
Stagecoach,
yeah. Yeah, stagecoach line.
I mean, you know.
And such bandits are as followed as George Musgrave, Bob Haynes, Code Young, Tom... Cathart, and Fenton Smith, and Tom Darnell.
And they were the High Five gang, right?
Some members, yes.
Okay.
Musgrave, for sure. He also had a brother, but I mean, the other guys were just other outlaws.
Okay.
And then, so, around 1887, Bill Johnson, Ed Coulter, James Burnett, and Reb Pipkin... are the first start of the Bronco Bill gang.
Okay.
Those four members.
So we get 1887. We've got the four of them all together.
Yeah.
And sounding as if they're a gang or something of that nature.
Right. The book paints an image that they're over a campfire, you know, they start to agree to rob trains. And gotcha. This is a good idea.
All right.
And normally
we want to make some money. Let's rob a train.
Yes. And Bronco Bill is to be the oldest of the four, and he's also, I mean, not an amateur to banditry at this point. And he assumed the position of being leader.
Yeah, that's normal. Been in and out of jail. Right. I mean, he's been, you know.
From what we know about, you know, Kid Johnson and Pipkin, they were young at the time. Mm. Just getting their start in the business, and Bronco led them. So they agreed. Their first target was a Wells Fargo Express car on the Santa Fe Road.
Railroad.
Right, yes. Yep. This is a great place for a holdup because a year earlier, on November 6th, the High Five Gang, George...
The one we just talked about. Yeah. Yep.
George and Ben Musgrave, Bob Christian, and Sid Moore has successfully assaulted the Santa Fe Pacific and rode away with $90,000. This would be around $2.7 to $3 million in 2020, last year when we recorded this, and the most significant loss ever suffered by the line.
So, but that one... As far as we know, that wasn't lost. The money itself wasn't lost.
No, I tried to follow the money. I couldn't find any other sources from the besides the book.
Yeah,
and the High Five Gang was—I mean, they were hung for their
So in theory, the High Five Gang made a mistake, got caught, money got returned.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah. So then at this point the Bronco Bill gang kind of comes onto the scene. I mean, right?
Yeah. They dream for a similar haul as the High Five Gang.
I mean, who doesn't?
Right. You're going to
rob a place.
However, the gang broke the cardinal rule and stole horses from the Double Circle brand ranch.
Oh, okay.
Wells Fargo agents were waiting for Bronco's arrival. The hold happens and agents shot Ed Coulter. And he shouted out something on the lines like, you know, not tonight, boys. I'm hit. Let's go. And
does he die?
They fled away. I mean, we don't hear from him ever again.
Okay, so we're going to assume that he died.
Yeah.
So they're down to three.
Yep.
So and we just chatted about this holdup, though. Bronco Bill, his gang, took 20 G's.
No, this is not the
this
Baleen
is a different
robbery.
One.
Yeah, yeah, okay. This is their first one. They didn't get anything from this haul.
Oh, okay. So another failed issue.
Yes.
Okay.
So Wells Fargo, after this endeavor happened, they issued a $300 reward, and the Santa Fe, you know, roadway offered $500, dead or alive. Oh. Hugh in Bon Jovi.
Well, sure. We like that.
So one of the members, Jim Barnett, who allegedly tipped off the agents, from this point had never been heard from again. Kid Johnson, in a later quote, said, "But we will bet he doesn't tip off any more officers."
Okay.
So
maybe he was killed.
He got capped.
Yeah, yeah. Probably, yeah.
Then the three split up. Red probably went to Mexico, we don't know for sure, while Kid and Bronco doubled back into Black River County. On April 20th, the two masked men held up a stagecoach. Walter and Johnson were convinced that by the passengers that there was no express on board, but then...
Express is money?
Yeah, okay. like a safe.
Okay, gotcha.
Mail.
Yeah.
The passengers produced a $5 bill. However, the two were not satisfied and didn't take the loot. Instead, they did take two oranges before riding off.
Then, so again, it's another failed...
Right. Like, I mean, unless you have good intel, it's hit or miss.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. It seems like they're, at this point, due, right? I mean,
yeah.
All right.
So this is where the stories come in next.
Okay.
So fast forward to May 21st, 1898, Santa Fe's southbound number 21. The notorious Bronco and Kid struck again. The train rolled when agents were at a stop. It is believed that Pipkin waited for them around 4 miles down the track.
So the gang is back together, basically.
Right. So when the train stopped, the agents went off board, had a smoke, chattered, whatever.
Sure.
And the train started rolling forward. They started yelling, "Hey, why is this moving? It's not supposed to be moving."
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point,
they were in the train conductor's spot.
Bronco and Kid took the train.
Yes.
Okay.
They put dynamite on the safe. They covered it in mud to project the blast towards the safe and cause it to not, you know, explode elsewhere.
Sure, yeah.
To blow it open. They blew it up. And they bypassed U.S. and Mexican bonds. They took silver and cash, and they gave a lot of the silver to the passengers and train conductors. And then they made their getaway.
Yeah, because they stole the train.
They were successful.
Yeah. This is their one and only time of being successful.
Yep.
And we are understanding that they basically seized around $20,000 or within silver and cash, about $20,000.
Yeah, we don't know for sure because Wells Fargo never stated how much they truly lost.
It's a very interesting thing that banks don't do that.
Yes,
I mean you gotta.
We'll talk about it
later. Yeah, you gotta imagine for insurance purposes.
However, the weight of the coins started to become a problem. They stopped near a small hill west of Bosque.
Yeah, I think so.
Walters is said in a later interview to have buried three sacks of coins and a mid-1900s discovery of 332 Morgan silver dollars has been found, which gives evidence towards Walter's assertion. Wells Fargo informed the press that the loss was around $500, which is the standard at the time.
Gotcha. So they're just trying to cover it up.
Right. However, passengers in the cab estimated that the silver left in the cab well exceeded the Wells Fargo's claim.
Mm.
Walters is later to have said that they've seized around $20,000. After this, so the next day, two deputies were put on the trail, Daniel Bustamante and Francisco Virgil, and several Navajo trackers. The next day, there was a shootout, and the gang showed how deadly they were. Both deputies and a Navajo tracker were struck down.
Oh, okay. So they found him, and then the Bronco Bill gang killed him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're not above. I mean, we're not above or below killing anybody. I mean, that's how this is going.
Mm-hmm.
So. Where does the Bronco Bill gang go?
So we have another robbery that reported at the time. So one of the issues that we face with these stories is a lot of gang members are supposed to have commingled and join different types.
And yeah.
You accuse different people of being part of different robberies. So on Thursday of December 9th, 1897, outlaws Dave Atkins, Ed Cullen, Will Carver, and Tom and Sam Ketchum attempted to seize the Southern Pacific number
20
train at Steens Pass, New Mexico. Lawman and Wells Fargo agents were tipped off. Cullen was killed, and four others, also known as the Snakey, Four fled amongst the confusion.
Okay.
Now, Sam and Tom Ketchum would later form the Ketchum Gang, and other gangs operating at this time were the Blackjack Christian Gang, John Kinney Gang, the High Five Gang, and the Bronco Bill.
Okay. So, and then what it's saying, I'm just looking at your research, and it says it suggested that Bronco Bill rode with the High Five Gang after their initial robbery, basically?
Right. Yet, we have no other proofs of this. So, I think it was Tom Ketchum who was getting ready to be hung. And he was upset that, from his letters, he was upset that Bronco Bill had gotten away pretty much unscathed from the robbery just because they simply killed everyone who came after them.
Yeah, so, I mean,
little evidence.
Yeah, right? Hey.
And he wanted to, in an attempt to exonerate his friends, place to several of the members of the Bronco Bill Gang at their Staines Pass robbery. Yet we have an alibi from a Diamond Ranch hand that stated Walters arrived 3 months earlier before the robbery.
Gotcha. All right. So then we've now hidden the treasure.
Yeah.
Okay. We've hidden the money. And where does my friends, the Bronco Bill Gang, go from here?
So we have, they camp on the train robbery happened on May 23rd. So they camp on the 24th, and on the 25th, the three outlaws, Red, Kid Johnson, and Bronco Bill,
yep,
were greeted by Milton and Scarborough deputies and a Wells Fargo agent, Thatcher. So Walters is sent a trap, knowing that that no good could happen from it, so he started shooting.
Yep.
He draws his fire to the ridge parallel to him on his left in attempt so Pipkin and Johnson can make their escape.
Okay.
George Scarborough is noted for having killed the outlaw and former lawman John Selman, killer of John Wesley Harding.
So okay.
I mean, he's got some...
Yeah, he's got a notoriety of tracking people down, yes, and obviously getting his man.
And this is a quote from the book. As Milton and Scarborough brought their guns into action, they continued to fire at Walters. As the outlaw raced across the glade towards the river, the fourth shot tore into Bill and smashed the bones in his shoulder and upper arm. He fell to the ground unconscious.
Okay, so they've got him.
Right. Well, they thought he was dead.
Yeah, Bronco Bill's down in the river.
Yeah.
All right.
And then Kid Johnson and Red were on the ridge opposite of where Milton this and Scarborough were shooting. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And they were taking cover behind a rock. Kid Johnson, before and later in further interviews, was famously quoted, he'd never be taken alive. And he stayed true to this statement. Kid Johnson moved to cover behind a juniper tree. He was later hit. Johnson cried out to Red, "I'm done for, you get away." Pipkin took Johnson's money belt and six shooters, which supposedly held $6,000. Red later claimed that he gave it to Johnson's sister, Alice, but no reports suggest that.
Gotcha.
I mean, we're really upset about this. Damn, yeah. It, Red. Like, you could have made some some amends here. And then Red hopped over the ridge. Before he did that, he took one last shot with his Winchester at Scarborough, and it dust kicked up in the middle of his 2 feet.
Just nothing.
Oh, I mean, he missed barely.
Yeah.
And then he fled on foot. Later, Thatcher went over to drag Bronco Bill because he thought he was dead.
Out of the water.
But then blood spilled from his mouth.
Yeah.
He became conscious.
Okay.
He was then taken into custody. Red would go on to recruit a new outfit for some more robberies.
Okay. So we're almost seeing that Red is the real vicious one of the gang.
Yeah, he was a part of some endeavor, and he'd gunned down like five people.
Yeah, so I mean,
in that one endeavor, yeah.
Like, he doesn't have an issue killing people.
No, he does not.
Okay. So Bronco Bill's taken into custody. Red looks for a new outfit. Where are we at now?
So on August 14th, same year, three members, Red included, robbed attempted to rob a Santa Fe Pacific train at Grants, New Mexico. Westbound train number one, but a shootout ensued and the bandits left empty-handed.
Okay.
Pipkin and a partner stole two horses, again, from the Double Circle brand, breaking the cardinal rule, and ranchers were ready to turn them in. On March 7th, 1899, Pipkin was taken into custody at Moab, Utah.
Yeah, so truly Southwest. I mean, he's going all the way up to Utah.
Well, he went back to Utah to go closer to family because his family is a part of the Mormon
Church.
Gotcha,
okay. Gotta love the Mormons. They're always everywhere with treasure. Mm-hmm. They really are. Well,
two stories so far.
Okay, so where is Bill now? So Red has been captured.
Right. So Red would be sent to Yuma, Arizona. And then Bill joined the New Mexico Territorial Penitentiary along with more violent prisoners. It is quoted from the book, among 30% of the New Mexico's prison population were convicted of violent crimes.
Whoa.
One-third of those was homicide.
Okay.
And on April 24th, 1907, Red was released for good behavior 7 years later, and he eventually became a peace officer.
Okay. I mean, some form of rehabilitation.
Yeah. And then a fun fact to mention is 7 years and 9 months was the average length of confinement for a life sentence. After nearly 10 years behind bars, Walters had served more time than most lifers.
Why is that?
Well, he escaped so many times.
Oh,
I think
okay.
He escaped around 3 times. This next one we'll cover included.
Okay, so Bronco Bill literally just didn't like jail and right. didn't want to serve time.
And he was semi-charismatic.
So, yeah.
He fiddled his way through it.
Gotcha.
So on April 17th, 1911, Bronco Bill had escaped, spent a few days on the lam, granted himself a meal, and then was recaptured. almost 6 years. On April 6th, 1917, he was officially released on parole. And part of his conditions for parole, he wasn't allowed to go back to New Mexico for a year.
Mm.
So we'll go to April 1918. He then resurfaced in New Mexico in Sorco County near the Alamo.
Socorro.
Mm-hmm. Near the Alamo River. The Martin Ranch offered Bill the opportunities to search for coins buried after their May 23rd robbery. However, this proved unsuccessful.
As far as we know.
Yes. We do learn from his letters in prison that he kind of had a change of heart. He didn't want to kill anymore after killing so many. He then went back to work for the Diamond Ranch and became a windmiller. Like he did repairs.
Basically fixing windmills.
Right. He would climb up and make repairs.
Okay. So as we're winding down of this legend, the money's still out there.
Right. We have two members still alive.
Still alive because we've lost Ed Colton, right?
James Burnett, yeah.
Yep. James Burnett and then Ed Colton.
Yep.
And Billy Kidd.
He died during the shootout.
Yeah. The other one. Okay.
And then November 23rd, 1918, Red is working as a police officer. There was a dispute. He shot a man. Killed him.
Sure.
He entered a plea bargain deal for shooting someone.
And then he's released 2 years later.
Right, correct.
Sure.
In 1920, he was released.
Okay.
Then, which brings us to June 16th, 1921, Bill tended a windmill to make repairs. The windmill blades knocked him down, and he was hauled to Hatchita. And according to an old-timer who worked there, Jack Stonebridge, Bill wanted to get in touch with a man named Hammer Livingston.
All right, so he was dying.
Right. And the whole idea was that he was going to tell this Hammer Livingston where the treasure was. Somewhere near Hammer Livingston's ranch in Little Hatchet's Mountain.
Ah.
There's also another story the book tells by Jethro Vaught. Vaught had worked there at the Diamond A Ranch, and he had a son. Bill and the son, within, I think, a two-year period, grew very close. They went shooting together.
Yeah, trade stories.
Yeah, and Bill told stories of his time as a bandit. So, that is believed that on his deathbed, when Bill wanted, he wanted the son to be there. And
yeah.
He was going to tell him with the Trevor. However, yeah. Both accounts of the story said he died before this could happen.
Gotcha.
So there is one consistent variable that does portray.
Okay.
However, this brings us to Red, who is the only one alive and possibly could know where the treasure was.
The only one still alive. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And we go into the 1930s. Red kills himself.
Of course. Because why not? We don't have enough actual evidence for anything. He probably couldn't find the treasure, or he spent it.
There's no evidence that he spent it. Never lived lavishly.
Wow. All right. So do we have a rough idea? I guess my question would be is, do we have a rough idea of where the treasure is?
I think what we could do is we found that there was a mid-1900s discovery of the Morgan coins, 332 coins that were discovered.
Yeah.
You followed their trail, and we posted it in the document.
Gotcha.
You followed their trail with, keep in mind, with the places that was mentioned in the book, Little Hatches Mountain and then Solemnville.
Yeah.
And then you just rerun your course there along trails, maybe places of encampment around there. Yeah,
figuring out where the train tracks are too.
If it hasn't already been taken.
Yeah.
I mean, there could still be.
All right, so we'll have a map. We'll have a map of the Bronco Bill Walters and Kid Johnson train robbery, and that'll be in our notes. We'll see if we find anything. I mean, it's kind of fun. It's just literally buried money in the desert or in the New Mexican desert. So that's awesome. There's Bronco Bill, right?
Yeah, that's all we got.
All right. So yeah, this was a little bit over, 30-ish minutes, and I think it's really fun because I think as we kind of move forward with other treasures, you're going to see a lot of these Southwestern gangs. And this is a really fun, the Old West and the Wild West really was wild for a reason. And there were train robberies. There were whole stagecoach holdups. There were shootouts. There was an amount of how long you lived in the Wild West was not long, whether through so many means and some of them being human and some of them obviously being, famine to rattlesnakes to, dysentery. I mean, there's tons of ways you died in the West, and this is kind of a fun primer to it all. So yeah. So there's episode 4 of our first season. Kind of fun.
Holla.
I know. All right. Well, thanks, everybody.